take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 35. Numbers chapter 35. And once you find Numbers chapter 35, please locate verse number 10. Numbers chapter 35, verse number 10. And as we always do, would you please stand with me in regard to the reading of the Scripture? And young people, don't talk now. I want you to listen. It'd be rude for you to speak out inappropriately. Numbers chapter 35, verse number 10. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint ye cities to be cities of refuge for you. For the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. They shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. Of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither." I want to talk to you this morning. I call the sermon "For Refuge." For refuge, or we could say "For refuge during the storm." Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. We've taken a few extra minutes to discuss the fall program, and therefore our time is a little shorter than usual. So God, please, in the time that we have, may the sermon be developed in our thinking. Holy Spirit of God, limit the interruptions to the service. And I pray that you would reach down from heaven and help us. God, take the sermon and use it to get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What we just read from the Scripture, it is explaining what God called the cities of refuge. In verse number 13, it says, "And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge." In other words, here's what happened. God set it up so that there were six cities that people could go to for refuge. In Joshua chapter 20, verse number 4, it said, there are people out there that need a place to go. And actually, it says this: "When he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, that shall take him into the city and to them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them." God felt like there were some people that needed a place to go. And God felt like there were people that needed a place of refuge. He felt like there were people that, to some degree, even needed a place to hide. I got to tell you, I am so glad that God gave me a refuge in Him. And God gave me a refuge in the church. Everybody needs a place where they can go, where they'll be loved. Everybody needs a place where they can go, where there is security and honesty and goodness available. Now, the passage that I just read, it's all about these cities they called the cities of refuge. Now, these cities were God's idea. They were appointed by God. Let me explain it to you. If a man or a woman accidentally killed another person, they needed a safe place to go. The Bible used the term, if they were to slay someone. And in verse number 3, it said if they were to slay them unawares, that means they slay them in ignorance or by mistake. In verse number 3, it actually talked about when this person died, it was unwittingly. In other words, it was by mistake. In verse number 5, it actually said one person accidentally killed another. It was an accident. It was a mistake. It wasn't premeditated. And they didn't hate that person. That person accidentally got killed. So what would happen if someone accidentally got killed, if their family got enraged with the person that accidentally killed their loved one, they may seek revenge. And God said there needs to be a place to go where the one that accidentally killed another would be safe. They'd be treated fairly and justly. And they would be protected from the revenge of someone that was being hateful. And God called these places the cities of refuge. And then what would happen is there would be a fair trial, and if the person was found innocent of murder, then they of course would then go free. But they were protected until that time. You know, you and I, we all need a place where we'll be treated fairly. We all need a place where we'll be safe. But they needed someone to care about that person that was wrong until they were cleared, and so they were not unjustly punished or treated badly. Now, the cities of refuge were very unique and very special. I'm glad that God created, and there were six of them. He said there are going to be six cities, three in one area, three in another area. Our fall program is all about spiritual disaster relief, and we're using that lighthouse a little bit as a theme to carry us through. But let me tell you all something. I want our church to be a safe place. I want our church to be a place where hurting people can come and be safe. I want to, if you will, wouldn't it be nice if God could look down from heaven and say, you know what, the old Twin Rivers Baptist Church, it's a bit like a city of refuge. It's a place where people could be treated fairly and justly. It's a place where people's attitudes would be good. And I want the attitude of our church to have the right attitude for those that need refuge and for those that need help. And though we're not talking about someone that has killed another person. But let me tell you something. We've all done wrong. We all need a place to go where we'll be treated with some dignity and some kindness and some fairness. And I got to thinking about these cities of refuge. I got to thinking about our fall program. If I could, I looked up and I studied the cities of refuge. And every one of them has a different name. Their names then have the name of that city of refuge, it has a definition. And I don't think God does anything by mistake. God doesn't do anything by accident. You'll see what I mean in a moment. I'm going to tell you about these cities of refuge. I'll do it quickly. But I want to show you what I think these cities of refuge and their names then reflect an attitude that I think you and I, as church members and our church, we ought to develop the right attitude toward those people that come here, and they come here as a safe haven. They come here so they'll be treated with dignity, and they come here so they'll be treated right. And they come here, and they want a place where they can go. And hey, you know what? Even if someone has done wrong, which, by the way, we all have, there's still a dignity that ought to be included in how we treat people. Let me show you what I mean. These cities of refuge. There is one that is called Kadesh. K-E-D-E-S-H. Kadesh, listen, it says in Joshua 20, verse 7, it says, "And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali." The word Kadesh means holiness. Now, let me explain. The holiness that is most necessary for us is the holiness of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe that God named this one city of refuge, Kadesh, because I think he wanted it to be a place of salvation for people, a place of refuge. Folks, now I'll tell you something I really, really believe. I think churches have lost this. I believe that we ought to reach into the community and we ought to get lost people, unsaved people, people that are not born again, and we ought to get them into the Kadesh of our church, where the holiness of Jesus Christ, who is the one that makes salvation available, I think we ought to get them into the church so they can get born again. You see, the great holiness of the things of God, it's really all about Jesus Christ. If you were to read about Kadesh, you would find out that it mentions the death of the high priest in association with this city of refuge called Kadesh. Do you know who the high priest is? Jesus Christ is the true high priest. You see, I believe that salvation is made available to people through the holiness of Christ. I don't want to burst your bubble, but you can't save yourself. It is the holiness of another. And Kadesh means holiness associated with the high priest. In other words, there's something you've got to face. There is no salvation in yourself. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, "For there is none other name among men whereby we must be saved." And it's speaking about the name of Jesus Christ. So I think our church, we don't want to lose this. There are churches today that no longer talk about salvation. And they no longer give an altar call. And they no longer watch people getting born again. And folks, don't let it become old hat to you. I mean, you watch people get saved week after week after week after week after week. If a Sunday passes and somebody doesn't get born again here, we go, oh. Well, there are churches, if one person gets saved in the year, they are all going, wow. If we miss one week, we're shocked. And there have been people saved already this week. Lots of people saved as a result of our church. I think that we want our church to be a city of refuge where lost people can come and hear the truth about Jesus Christ and get born again. Lost people need to hear the truth that you can't save yourself. Lost people need to hear the truth that church membership won't save you. You say, "Pastor, I'm a member of the church." I'm glad that you are, but you have to understand something. Having your name on the church roll, having a church membership certificate hanging on your office at home does not assure you a place in heaven. You must be born again. I believe our church needs to be a lighthouse. I think we need to be a city of refuge. Somebody's got to tell people that baptism doesn't save you. Now, I am for baptism after one's salvation. But there are a lot of people mixed up out there, and they think somehow because they got baptized or sprinkled or dunked as a child that they're going to go to heaven. And you hear me say this all the time. You can be baptized in every lake, pond, and puddle. You can know every tadpole by its first name, but you still will not go to heaven unless you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we've got to be a lighthouse. We've got to be a refuge for salvation. Somebody's got to tell the truth that you can't save yourself. And we've got to tell people that baptism won't save you. I'm thankful for good works. I want you to do good works and I'm to do good works. But good works won't save you. You can help every little old lady in the world across the street. And you can get your Cubs Scout merit badge, but having a merit badge from the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, you can have every merit badge available, but that won't get you to heaven. Now, I'm for the good deeds, but it won't get you to heaven. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved except for Jesus Christ. And we've got to tell that. We've got to make sure that's known. So let's keep our church as let's keep our church as a city of refuge in regard to salvation, where salvation is taught pure and clean, and we make it clear it's a city of refuge. Now, let me go on. There's another city of refuge. The second name is Shechem. S-H-E-C-H-E-M. Shechem. The Bible says in Joshua 20, verse 7, it says, "And Shechem in Mount Ephraim." This is the name of another one of these cities of refuge. Let's find out what Shechem was. Let's see what personality. Let's find out what was there. Because, look, those city of refuge, they were teaching you and I how our church could be a refuge for hurting people today. Shechem. Shechem means shoulder on which to carry. I like that. Shoulder on which to carry. In other words, this city of refuge, its name had something to do with helping people carry something heavy. Well, let me tell you, once you come to Jesus for salvation, He'll put you on His shoulders and He'll hold you there. He carries you. Hey, You don't have to hold on to Him because He is busy holding on to you. I think God is telling us something about security here. Not only does God want us to tell people about Jesus Christ and salvation and be a city of refuge for people to be saved. Did you know the Bible teaches that once someone trusts Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that they are secure in their salvation? You didn't save you. He did the saving. If you and I would have saved ourselves, we would have boogered it up. So God said, "No, you let me take care of the saving. That way it doesn't get boogered up." Now, what God didn't booger up is in pretty good shape. You have the security of knowing you are born again. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." The Bible says in John 10, verse 28 and 29, speaking of saved people, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, when you got saved, you got put in God's hand, and nobody can take you out of God's hand. He saved you, and He brings you security. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey folks, once you got saved, God keeps you saved, and salvation is a gift. Hey, and God, He ain't no Indian giver. He gave you salvation, and you ought to be secure in it. Folks, you didn't pay anything to get salvation, and you don't have to pay anything to keep it. Jesus paid it all. Now, when I looked at the cities of refuge, Kadesh had to do with the holiness of the high priest. That's what made salvation available to us. Then Shechem had to do with our security. And I thought, that's perfect. I get saved in the city of refuge. I learn of the security in Jesus Christ in that city of refuge. And that's what our church ought to be. Our church ought to tell folks about Jesus and get them saved and then let them see that God loved them and it's eternal and it's everlasting. And once you get born again, God sealed the deal. Thirdly, there's another city of refuge. That city is called Hebron or Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N. Again, Joshua 20, verse 7, it says, Karjith Arba, which is Hebron in the Mount Judah. The word Hebron means fellowship. Fellowship. In all actuality, this is another part of what a church is. So get it now. You get the gospel out and people get saved. You teach them of the security in Christ. They begin to come to the church and there is a fellowship available. That's if you remember correctly, this is a city of refuge. This place called Hebron is some place where someone was escaping where they would be safe. This is someone that maybe has done wrong, maybe someone that has sinned, or that maybe they accidentally did wrong, but they were able to escape to the city of refuge, and there was someone there that would love them. And according to this, they would fellowship with them. Now, I got to tell you something. I believe it wasn't only fellowship. I believe it was humble fellowship. You say, how? Well, you understand who was at the city of refuge. There were people that had stumbled. So somebody out in the world stumbled and came to the city of refuge. When they got there, they were accepted. And there were people that fellowship with them. Now, who was at the city of refuge? People that had stumbled that came to the city of refuge. Can I tell y'all something? Don't you ever look down your nose at anybody. The only people in this room are sinners saved by grace. Now, you're either saved by grace or you're not saved by grace, and we're going to try to get that taken care of before this day is over with. But I got to tell you something. I believe that when people went to Hebron and they went into this place, there wasn't a bunch of arrogant, snotty people receiving them. There were a bunch of humble people receiving them. Why? Because everybody at the city of refuge was there because they too needed refuge. They too had made their mistakes. And to everybody in this house, everybody here, you've made your mistakes. If I may say it with a little bit more of a pungent delivery, you're a sinner and you were rotten to the core and God saved your sin-cursed soul. So you don't have to go to hell. You shouldn't be looking down your nose at anybody. And so God wanted there to be a place where people could get saved. And then that they could be taught the security that they have in Christ Jesus. And then He wanted them to have this Hebron called city of refuge because they needed a place to go where there would be fellowship and where the people were humble. Folks, let's always protect ourselves of something. Never let the church become, do you know what a clique is? A clique. That's this little group. This is our little group, and you're not accepted in it. You don't want that in a church. You don't want it to be like that in a church. You say, what is the most dangerous type of a clique? The new crowd and the old crowd. The new crowd and the old crowd. One of the most dangerous cliques. Well, I've been in this church for a long time. Who are you? Well, if they're saved, they're just as saved as you are. Saved by the same blood that you were saved by. You got to be careful. You can get the click of the new crowd and the old crowd. I don't think we have that problem here, but I don't want us to ever have that problem here. Let me say to everybody that is in this church, this local New Testament church, it belongs to Jesus Christ. And when somebody comes to be a part of us, hey, they need to know that they're welcome, and they need to know they're a part of the deal. I was teasing with Jason. Now, Jason and his family, they usually sit over in here. But their seats were gone today. And we were joking about it. Somebody nabbed your seats, didn't they? Said, there's somebody nabbed my seats. And we were just joking, and they know this. But let me tell you something. None of these seats belong to anybody. They all belong to everybody, and they all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, if somebody comes in here one day and they're sitting in your seats, you ought to just thank God somebody's here and go find you another place to plunker down. Go ahead and find you another 24 or 48 inches, however much space you need, and sit down there and just thank God for it. But I am telling you, I've been in churches where somebody that's claimed a pew, it's theirs, and you sit in it, you've offended them. Say, Pastor, I pulled in and somebody took my parking spot. There's no parking spot out there that has a name on it but Preacher Crooms, and don't mess with that one. But all the rest of them, they're just there for what? People coming to the city of refuge. People coming, what? To get saved. People coming to get security. And people coming to get fellowship, to be accepted, not to have others look down on them. Hey, when someone in the church, you know, these people needed fellowship. Can you imagine? They're hurting. These people, if you remember, the city of refuge was a place where someone could escape. They needed help. They needed someone. And thank God that God had set it up so that they could get to somebody, and there were people there that would accept them and love them. I thank God for Sunday school. Sunday school is a great time of fellowship. But the church was intended for a place where God's people could be around God's people and be loved and be treated right. Listen, stay humble. When we're getting ready to start our fall program, when that happens, we're going to have all sorts of people you don't know come in. You know what you need to do? Well, you need to throw out a welcoming hand. And you need to say, we're glad you're here. Get this. In such a way that they think you mean it. Amen. New people need acceptance. Everybody was new at one time. But everybody, hey, and let me tell you, that means you need to go shake somebody's hand. And when that new person comes in, go over there and greet them and say, God bless you, I am glad you're here. You may have to leave your chair and get up and walk and smile on purpose and say, hi. Some of you will scare them to death because this is all new to you. But they ought to know they're somewhere where we're glad and that they're there. Folks, you know, I travel. I've been preaching around the nation for years and years. And I got to tell you, I've gone into churches where you walk in, everybody's staring at you. What are you doing here? Now, our church isn't like that. You know it. People walk in here and it's electrifying. You just know we're about to do something and something's happening. People are laughing and they're carrying on and enjoying it. And it ought to be that way. And we want to keep it that way. Why? This is a city of refuge. And these people needed that fellowship. They needed that. Let me go on. There's a fourth city of refuge. It's Bezer. The Bible says in Joshua 20, verse 8, and on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness. The word Bezer means stronghold. Stronghold. You know that God wanted this city of refuge to depict a stronghold. I think people need to come to a church, and I think we need to learn how to be strong and help people. Did you know that God can help us carry any burden that we bear? I think I think there are times when you need to have me remind you there is no problem so big that God can't solve it. I think often from this pulpit you need me to remind you that any burden that comes upon you, you can bear. God would never place something upon you that has to collapse you. God never gives you a burden bigger than you can bear, because God's fair and God's just. So if you have a burden, God will help you to bear it. Can I tell you something? You and I as Christians, I think we ought to be trying to help people bear their burdens. I think there will be people that will come to our church and they will have needs and they will have burdens and they will have heartaches. You know what they need? They don't need us to criticize them. They don't need us to attack them. They don't need us to look down on them. You know what they need? They need us to say, come on, we'll help you with that. Well, we can do this. We can do this together. They need somebody that's got a little bit of faith inside themselves. They need somebody in the hallway to say, you know what? I know you're facing something big, but God is bigger than your burden. And I'll pray with you and we'll figure this out. And you can do it. You can make it. You can take it. You say, Pastor, that's what you're for. Oh, no, it's not just what I'm for. It's what we're all for. Everybody needs to have faith in God, and everybody needs to encourage others, and everybody needs to help somebody bear their burden. I think you and I are to help bear one another's burdens. That's what the church family's all about. We come here for fellowship. But I think we also come here to gain strength. Bezer. It means strong or stronghold. I was preaching in Mount Vernon, Kentucky. And about a 17-year-old preacher boy came over to me. He said, I've been so excited to come hear you preach. He said, I've been waiting. Nobody signed my Bible yet. I've been waiting because I wanted you to be the first one to sign my Bible. And I said, well, get her out there, buddy. Let's sign it. And I signed my name. And I don't tell my penmanship teacher. If she's seen the way I write today, I would be in big trouble. But here's, I signed my name. I put Jeff Owens down. And then I write Galatians 6:2. That's my life's verse. You say, what is that verse, Brother Owens? It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's been my verse since I was a kid. You say, what do you want to do? I tell you what I want to do with my life. I want to help people carry their load. I want to help people carry their load. My preaching has a lot to do with, I want to help you carry your load. My counseling, I want to help people carry their load. Can I ask you all to do yourself a favor, do God a favor, and do somebody else a favor? I want some of you to overcome some of the bad things in your life. I want some of you to even have victory with some of your burdens, because we need you to become a part of the burden-bearing part of the church. I think that there's some people in here, you need to change your life for the better, for the cause of Jesus Christ, because we need you to become a part of the workforce. We need you to be able to step up and teach that Sunday school class and run that bus route and help people that bear a load. See, Bezer was a place of strength. And so you and I, we want to try to help people bear their load. When you're weak, we'll pull together and try to help you carry your load. But can I tell you something? You're not supposed to stay weak all the time. There are times when you ought to step up and you ought to become strong. And you're the one that's helping someone else bear their load. We're to help one another. And I'm not talking about in the area of developing character or patience in their life. There's some of you, you're really good at helping people strengthen their patience. But I'm talking about you're helping someone carry the load. Folks, never think anything different. One of the big responsibilities of a church is just helping people through hard times. It's what we do. That's what a lighthouse is. That's what a city of refuge is. So when I looked at the cities of refuge, I seen one has to do with salvation. Another has to do with the security that comes with salvation. Another has to do with proper fellowship and humble fellowship. One had to do with the strengthening of people. Let me quickly give you the last two. Or actually, let me give you, very quickly. Ramoth Gilead. It was a place, and this is number four or five. Ramoth Gilead means exalted. that it means exalted. The most beautiful cities in all of Palestine, believe it or not, were these cities of refuge. They were, and when I say that, what I mean is these had the prettiest view. They had the prettiest scenery. God has had a real big purpose for these cities of refuge. I believe that when God said this city of refuge, being called Ramoth-Gilead, meaning exalted, I think he was saying these cities are beautiful. There was a beauty about these cities of refuge. In other words, these people escaped to an atmosphere that was pleasant and beautiful. I think, folks, when people come to church, I think we need to provide an atmosphere that is pleasant. I think we need to provide an atmosphere that is beautiful. You say, well, what makes an atmosphere in a church pleasant? What makes an atmosphere in a church beautiful? Well, I think if people remember that it is by the grace of God any of us are able to do anything for God, that sure adds to the atmosphere. Don't ever become arrogant. Don't ever think you're better than anybody else. Hey, and remember, did you know everybody here, you were saved by grace? Do you know that you ought to live your life realizing that every day that you get to live right, that also is by the grace of God? Hey, somebody stumbles in here and let's say that somebody was a drunk and somebody was a prostitute. Somebody had a life that was wicked and vile and you know about it. Let me tell you all something. If it were not for the grace of Almighty God, every one of us would have stumbled in here the same way, and some of you did. And God said this place of refuge ought to be a place of a beautiful atmosphere. In other words, this place it's a place where the grace of God is exalted. Hey, let's give fallen people a place to go where they'll be treated with dignity. Let's give struggling people a place to go where they'll be helped. Now, folks, let me make it real simple. Hate is not beautiful. Now, you want to hate sin, hate away. But let me tell you, hating people, it's not beautiful. Revenge, not beautiful. Slander, not beautiful. A lack of forgiveness, not beautiful. You see, you know what the people out there in that lost and dying world need? They need to come into a church that will teach them about salvation and teach them about security and give them a place to fellowship and give them a place where they can grow strong. And they need a place that's got a beautiful atmosphere where the people are forgiving and they're not slanderous and they're not vengeful and they know how to forgive. Hey, they need to come in and see the hope in our life and in our testimony and the forgiveness and the love and the encouragement and the compassion. They need to be able to come in here and say, you know what? This is the real deal. These are real Christians. None of them think that they're God's gift to Christianity. They're just a bunch of humble, saved by grace Christian people that know how to forgive and love people and accept people. Hey, that's what they need. You know what they need? Somebody needs to come here and watch a group of people that understand that God's a God of a second chance. And that they are people of a second chance. You say, what do you mean? Somebody falls, they get a chance to get back up and get right back in there and try again. But you know what? We don't just need to be people of a second chance, but we need to be people of a third chance. And a fourth. And a fifth. And a sixth. And a seventh. God's been pretty patient with you. And I believe that this beauty of Ramoth-Gilead had to do with the beauty that God created. It was the grace of God. You understand, the grace of God is something that man didn't do, but God did. And when you and I are living a life of grace, we're busy realizing what God did for us, and we just need to extend that kind of an atmosphere to everybody. Now, let me give you one more city, and we're done. Golan. G-O-L-A-N. It was in Bashan. It means joy. It means joy. In other words, this city of refuge ought to be a place of joy. I am so glad that when we come into our church, we're all glad we're here. We enjoy church. We have a good time. Matter of fact, sometimes it's very difficult to get you all settled down enough to start. Because we're just bebopping around here and everybody's excited and smiling and laughing and greeting one another. And it ought to be that way. You shouldn't go into the church and it be like a funeral home. No, there's something alive here and something exciting here. You say, well, Pastor, I have a hard time with joy. Let me help you with your joy. Are you in hell right now? You say, no, I'm not in hell right now. Then you got something to smile about, baby. You better stop and realize something. You could be in hell right now. And I am sorry if you are facing a burden. I'm sorry if you're facing a heartache. You just heard me defend the fact that we're here to help. But I do have to tell you something. Anything's better than hell. And if you're not in hell, you got something to smile about. And if you're born again, you've got something to smile about. So this place, this city of refuge, Golan, was a place of joy. Well, I understand this, Brother Earl. People were getting saved there. Now, I like that. I get happy when people get saved. You might not get happy when people saved, but when we start the altar call and there's a chance that somebody's going to get born again, I really start liking church about right then. I love it. You say, well, Pastor, sometimes the altar call just goes on and on and on and on. And I know I like it and I like it and I like it. Why? People are getting saved. People get security at church. That's enough to give you joy. People start getting fellowship with the right kinds of things. That'll give you joy. Somebody's here to help bear your burden. That'll give you joy. Hey, and there's a beautiful atmosphere where we learn how to forgive each other and be kind to each other and treat each other with dignity. And we all know we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace, and we're going to treat each other that way. Hey, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. And you get that right atmosphere, then you've got the joy of Golan. G-O-L-A-N. That's what we want. Let's let our church be a place of refuge, a lighthouse. Let's in the next 4 weeks get all the people we can. You say, well, I know some pretty tough birds. Bring them in. We've got bird seed to give them. I do. I do have a lot of bird seed I need to get rid of. All right. Hey, let's bring them in. Folks, let's not let the devil steal our joy. You know, one thing I love about when we went through, when Hurricane Florence had hit, and there are people here that lost everything. But I'll tell you what, I watched those people. And look right at me now. I watched those people. I watched them come in a service after they lost everything. They still had a smile on their face. They were still singing. And I watched some of them, people that had lost everything, they were going out helping other people. And I thought, boy, isn't that good? Hey, did you notice one service after the hurricane? We all still had a smile on our face. We were all still serving God. You know why? We were all still saved. We were all still secure. We all still had that fellowship that we needed. We had our burden bearer. We had what we needed. Listen, folks, let's let the community see that this place is a city of refuge. It's a place where you can come. There's a holiness. Sure. There's salvation and security. There's fellowship, acceptance. All those things are what the cities of refuge taught. Let me ask you a question. Is our church more joyous because of you? It ought to be. We ought to all be contributing to these things. You see, I think God gave us these names of the city of refuge for a reason. He wanted those attributes to be drawn into the present day. And He wanted us to say, if that was a place that God made that people could flee to get help, God wants the local New Testament church to provide that type of an atmosphere in this day and age. The Twin Rivers Baptist City of refuge, a place that God develops where people can get help. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I invite you to the Savior. If you're here today and you're born again Christian, let me tell you something. Let's make our church and let's keep our church a refuge where people can get help and people can be loved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is quite simple. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I do not know if I died today I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not born again. Pray for me, please. Would you raise your hand and I will pray for you? You say, I'm not saved. I'm not sure. I see that hand. Say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Well, in a moment, we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. Oh, that's what this city of refuge is. We want you to know the truth about salvation. It's a free gift paid for by Jesus. Cost him everything, but to you, it's a free gift. Then, may I say to the Christians, could I say to everybody here, let's contribute to having the right kind of a church? And I think we do. Let's keep it that way. Be forgiving, be kind, be accepting, reach out. Let's make sure that we help one another. We bear one another's burden. Let's add to joy. Let's add to the fellowship of their life. Who here today would say, Pastor, there's something in this sermon. I needed it. I need a little extra of that. But God did speak to my heart today. I do believe that God spoke to me about being a part, an active part of our church, our city of refuge, and God's spoken to me about it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Oh, lots of hands. God bless you. You may put those hands down. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play, and when he does, we're going to stand, and if you need the altar, I want you to come. If you're not saved, we want you to come so you can be born again. If you're a Christian, you need a moment at the altar, maybe you need to come down here and say, you know, Brother Owens, I need to reach out. I need to get some people into the city of refuge. I need to bring some guests in, some friends in. Hey, maybe it is you need to start showing up at some of the visitation or soul winning. Maybe you bet your joy is wavering and you need to work on that. Maybe it is you're one of those that come in, plunker down, never say a word to anybody in this church, and you need to learn to be a little more friendly and a little more kind to some people because they need this refuge. They need your fellowship. The pianist is going to begin to play quickly and loudly. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Christian, do you need to come and pray? Lost person, do you need to come so we can take a Bible and show you how to be born again? If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible, show you how to be saved. Remember, Christian, if we're going to keep this as a beautiful place, then it can't be a place of hatred. It can't be a place of revenge. It can't be a place of slander. Oh, I'll tell you what. You get to gossiping about everybody in the church. That'll ruin the atmosphere. That's not a haven. That's not a refuge. Let's learn not to talk bad about one another. And I'm not trying to fix anything that's broken. I'm trying to keep something from breaking. I want us to have the right atmosphere. I want us to have the right attitude. Hope is beautiful, and love is beautiful, and compassion is beautiful. Ramoth Gilead, it was an exalted city of refuge with great beauty. I think there are some of you, there are folks in our church, and you don't know them, you've not met them yet, they don't sit in your section. Venture out of your section and go meet somebody and tell them you're glad to meet them and tell them you're glad that they're here. Hey, and in weeks to come when we're reaching out to dozens of people in our community and you don't know them from Adam, they're brand new. You've never seen them before. When they walk in that back door, won't you go up to them and shake their hand as sincerely as you know how and say, I am glad you're here. Invite them to sit with you. Give them your seat. Don't beat somebody up in the parking lot next week because they took your sacred parking spot. Be glad to see them. Be glad you had to walk a few extra steps because there's so many people here that they needed a place to park. These cities of refuge. Kadesh, having to do with salvation. Shechem, having to do with security. Hebron, having to do with fellowship. Bezer, having to do with strength. Ramoth Gilead, a place of beauty. And Golan, the place of joy. The church ought to be just like that.